We are going to begin with the complicated question of government surveillance, government recordings, and the public record. Government recordings can be a priceless part of the historical record in the case of Lyndon Johnson's recorded White House phone conversations. Recordings can also bring down a president in the case of the Nixon White House Watergate tapes. They can violate the Constitution or disrupt relations between allies in the case of the NSA domestic surveillance and world leader phone intercepts discovered and made public by Edward Snowden nearly a year ago. And government recordings can also protect Americans. On July 11th, the Justice Department will begin to systematically record statements and interrogations in federal crime investigations. After resisting the practice for years, senior Justice Department officials are now strongly encouraging agents to videotape suspects and say there is a presumption that suspects in custody will now be recorded. Joining me now is Michael German, former FBI special agent, who's now a federal fellow with the Brennan Center for Justice, Liberty, and National Security Program. Welcome.
Thanks for having me.
So as a former FBI special agent, what was the hesitation on these federal videotapes, and what do you think has changed here?
So part of the hesitation is just that the FBI is a very traditional organization that thinks they do things right. So if this is the way they've always done it, this is the way they're always going to do it. You know, there were some very slight, specious sort of arguments about, well, you know, sometimes in an interview you might have to lie to a suspect, and that might not be very well understood by a jury later on, and you'd have to explain that. So it's easier just to leave that to the FBI.
Yes, it is easier to leave that out. Yeah, right.
Exactly. So even where there wasn't necessarily impropriety, they just felt that it was easier and better for the prosecution if they just go by the agent's notes.
Is this about protecting suspects? Could it also be about protecting the investigators as well?
As far as the recording now,
yeah.
Yes. I think that this was long past due. I couldn't understand when I was in the FBI from 1988 to 2004 why we were so far behind the curve, because it does protect the agents. And as an agent, when you would go up to testify, because you're working from a summary of your notes, there was always this skepticism that the defense attorney could bring in saying, oh, you didn't record this interview. This isn't exactly what the person said. You didn't transcribe it. You know, these are just what you say he said. So it certainly will, I think, be better for both the agents and for the defendants. So it's just better for justice overall.
The USA Security Act passed the House this week, and there's all kinds of wiggle room in there about what the NSA can or can't do on collection of bulk data. Assess the wiggle room here in this memo from the Justice Department, which encourages agents to videotape suspects, and there is a presumption that there will be a videotaping. What's that all about?
Right. I mean, I think overall it's a net positive that presumptively and it only applies to custodial interrogation, so once a person has been arrested. So it's a very narrow policy, but it also has a couple of very problematic exceptions. One particular being the Quarles exception. This is the Supreme Court case that said that you could get public safety information without reading somebody their Miranda rights. So it came from a case where a person had a gun, police chased him into a store, and when they arrested him, didn't have the gun anymore. So they knew he had dropped it somewhere in the store and said, hey, where's the gun? There are kids around here. Somebody could get hurt. And they allowed that statement. Well, now the FBI views that exception very broadly, that they can literally interview somebody for hours or even days based on that exception. So that isn't part of the recording policy is a very big problem. There's a national security exception, which again we've seen in NSA and other type programs that's used very broadly to cover a lot of government questionable conduct, let's say.
Well, since you referenced the NSA once again, you know, the framers had no idea that there was such thing as a record button in the days of the Constitution's drafting. Yet the law views very, very differently the times that the government may press record when it's dealing with suspects, dealing with the citizens, dealing with the governments, other leaders, domestic or foreign individuals. Can you sort of sketch out how controversial it is for the government to ever press the record key?
Sure. I mean, it should be done in a way that protects the defendant to the best degree possible. So I did a lot of undercover work. And of course, in the undercover work, there were a lot of recordings. But what I found was it kept me honest as well, that, you know, I knew that my conduct was going to be evaluated afterwards. So it's certainly something that can protect both. But we want to make sure that it's only directed against people where where the government suspects they're involved in wrongdoing. We don't want the government recording just anyone they can. That's not useful for the government because recording innocent people doesn't help you find guilty people.
Well, they don't necessarily believe that.
They don't, but when you review these programs, like you mentioned the NSA with the Section 215 telephone metadata program, never actually caught a terrorist. So, you know, they've been gathering all this information for over a decade, yet it's not useful. Well, it's sort of common sense that if you're gathering information about innocent people, it doesn't help you find guilty people.
All this technology has changed the law, yes?
In dangerous ways and mostly secretly, which is really a problem, that we don't really have a great understanding of how it is the government's interpreting its authorities.
Very interesting. Michael German is a former FBI special agent who is now a fellow with the Brennan Center for Justice's Liberty and National Security Program. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.